Welcome, everybody. I'd like to thank Mrs. McInnes and the staff at the Early College High School for hosting our meeting tonight. And I'd like to call to order the May 19th, 2016 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. And now, if everyone will rise and join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, if I need a motion to approve the agenda for our meeting tonight.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant, second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next up, we have our employees of the month. We have them for March, April, and May. And so I need a motion to approve the March, April, and May employees of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. And now, Jonathan, if you'd like to tell us a little bit about these employees of the month.
Yes, we'd like to take a moment to recognize our March employee of the month.
Okay.
And her name is Laura June Setjewick.
Right.
I hope I pronounced that correct for Laura. Just like to take a moment to share what the staff wrote about her. Laura is a special education aide at Marysville High School. Laura is one of our aides in the multi-handicapped classes here at the high school. She is responsible for many students who have high-intensity needs. Some of her responsibilities include feeding students, taking care of medical needs, freshening, transporting, and is a one-to-one aide when situations arise and are needed. No complaining about coming to work and doing what sees that needs to be done. Her pay is not even one-fourth of what this lady deserves. She loves kids. She helps me with the school store and expects students in her care to be trained well with vocational skills. Every year she has purchased t-shirts for the students she works with and also donates to kids in need. This lady is an asset to our building and our school district. Congratulations, Laura. And thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
Our April Employee of the Month is Lori Potter. Lori Potter deserves the recognition as Employee of the Month because she is always caring and kind toward every student and staff member that enters her clinic. Lori treats every sick student as if they were her own. She has a perfect rapport with parents, always keeping in touch with them regarding their students' well-being. So we'd like to say thank you to Lori Potter, a clinic aide at Navin Elementary. Our May Employee of the Month is Beth Seaman. Beth Seaman's a library media specialist at Bunsell Middle School, and this is what was shared about Beth. Mrs. Seaman seeks out opportunities to assist and collaborate with her colleagues. She uses her knowledge of resources available in innovative ways to enhance curriculum in all areas. Mrs. Seaman does not think twice about going above and beyond and is not limited to the confines of her job description. By developing individual relationships with students, she is able to gain insights into their interests, which allows her to assist students in selecting books that will ignite their passion for reading. Mrs. Seaman is a great asset to Bunsell Middle School, its culture, and our mission to make our school a safe, supportive, respectful community of learners. Thank you, Mrs. Seaman.
Can we have a roll call for this motion?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we thank them all, and hopefully we'll get to see them sometime soon so we can thank them personally.
Absolutely.
Next up, we have our presentation of awards to state qualifiers.
All right. Well, we are excited to continue our recognition of our high school students who are excelling both in extracurricular and co-curriculars here in Marysville. And the following students and programs have earned high honors that we are quite proud of. So I would like to ask Mr. Ricky Schultz to come down first.
And I think we're going to go ahead and
yep.
We want to be able to recognize these students as well. So, yep, yep.
They take orders. Students, right over here. I'm Ricky Schultz. I'm the advisor for Montreal Program. Our program is very storied, a long history of greatness. And we had several teams, 6 teams in fact, that carried out the competition well. And we were lucky enough to have 2 teams that made it to the state competition. Part of getting one, we were lucky enough to have 2. First, I'd like to thank my co-advisors, Janine Filippo, Luke Sundermeyer, volunteer advisors, John Weichman, Joy Bingham, legal advisor, John Newfinger, and of course, the godfather of the program, Mr. Dick Smith, who is an invaluable resource at all times. So, without further ado, Connor Hall. Brian Hurt. Paul McDonald. Aaron Moots. Daniel Rain. Vincent Solar. And Reagan Hilton. This was Team Pegasus, Team Phoenix, Andrew Blumenschein. Amelia Lively. Michael Molsher. Sharita Parashar. Andrew Swain. Mount attendance, Bryce Forey, Ashley Segner, and Brooke Cotton. So a round of applause for everything they did this year. Hard work to do.
If I could get everybody just to follow Lynette out into the hallway, she's going to get a picture of everybody. Thank you all for being here tonight, and congratulations. And thank you for representing Marysville so well.
See if Mr. Keck could come down. Some presentations in regards to our outstanding, top-notch FFA program. So, if students could come along the side.
While they're lining up, the first ones I'm going to give are the American FFA degrees. I've already received these. I just had Shay look this up for me. There's about 650,000 kids in the FFA nationwide, and about a little less than 2% of those get the American FFA degree. So these are outstanding people. And there's some book when you come down. Might be a misprint, but I know it's not David Cat. Nick Rage, which I would assume that he is farming tonight, as this would be one of the first nights to be actually out there. Justin Wickline, probably the same. Then State FFA degree, the nursery and landscaping team. This individual got both, Ryan Cook. I don't see, is he here tonight? Ryan's pretty busy and is our outgoing FFA president. This team actually placed first in the state, which is the first time for us, and that's a pretty outstanding thing. So another state FFA degree, Jared Geyer. I guess I didn't, I didn't say this, but there's about 25,000 folks in the state, FFA Association, and about 12% of those, a little less than 12%, get their state degrees, so it's pretty outstanding. Also, Katie Heiser, Morgan Kessler was also on the state landscaping nursery. Blake Kessler is also. And I guess Isaac Knowles is here. And one thing I didn't tell you all, they all had to learn how to drive the skid steer, and quite well, I might add. I'm not sure I could pass. And so we've rented a skid steer for the last 2 years so they could learn how to do that. This year we bought one for next year's team, so we'll be expecting good things from them. Allie Lee, St. FFA degree. Amy Mecklefresh, and Emily Rossifer, Leanne Shankland, State FFA degree. It's Pacey Welch and Lacey Welch. These two young ladies both have placed state and national. Lacey, I think, was in the top four in the nation with her animal project, so we're pretty proud of her. Ladies to keep an eye on. Nate Roush. Nate is on the state, placed in the state tractor troubleshooting, so if your car won't start, it's all him. His partner, Evan Etherington, is probably out farming tonight, so that's it.
All right. We're going to grab the mock trial kids again. We had a latecomer, so we're going to do another picture.
I would like to next call down JJ Martin, if he could come down, sir. Acknowledge our DACA program.
Well, this is our first year for our DACA chapter here in the Marysville High School. We are part of the Ohio High Point Supply Chain Management Satellite Program. DACA, for those of you that may not be aware of DACA, is a student organization, international student organization for students that are studying business, entrepreneurship, marketing, and some finance in there as well. This was our first year for this chapter, and my first year as an advisor, a lot of unknowns, and overall we actually we came out at the end of the year with 21 district awards. We had 3 state placers. We actually had 1 national placer, and as a chapter we won 2 national awards as well. So we already kind of set the benchmark pretty high as we move forward into the next 2 years. But first off, I would like to recognize our members that are here tonight. So, of the members that we have tonight here, we have Kayla Rain. Kayla is Kayla placed in the top 10 in restaurant and food service management category at the state level. She was first place in District 4. She was in the top 10 at the state of Ohio, and she was also recognized as one of the top 35 at Nashville at the International Conference there out of what was there, 325 people that that were competing from all around the world in that specific category, and Kayla was on the stage and recognized in the top 35. Also have Bahman Mangalam, as we have affectionately got to know him as Batman. Batman placed in the top 10 in the state in the professional selling category. It's a category where obviously they had to develop a professional sales pitch and present that in front of some judges there. And Batman was recognized in the as a top 10 placer in the state of Ohio. And then finally, John Asham. John also was in the professional and technical sales category. One of my favorites here with John was—he was the first place overall of all the people in that category in the state of Ohio. John brought him a great big gold trophy, so he was first place overall. And another thing that I guess as we kind of go back and we make sure that our curriculum and the things that we're doing in class translate outside of the world there. There's 20% of the top 10 salespeople in the state of Ohio right there. So 20% came from Marysville. So we've set an awful tall benchmark. So
Lynette should be in the hallway, Mr. Martin, for a picture.
Well, it's always a great thing to do, isn't it? Here goes your audience. That's right. We're excited. Oh. If anybody would like to move on down closer, feel free. There's plenty of open seats. Sure. All right, next up, we have a presentation from the Early College High School.
And then I have these young people answer some questions for me, because whenever we give tours, I always say, if you really want to know what our school's about, you should talk to our kids. And so that's what we're going to do. Okay, Dan, I'm going to go to the next slide. So I want to talk just a minute about the eight elements of a STEM school. They are problem-based learning. And one of the things that we have tried to build into all of our classes is that there are some opportunities for kids to dig deeper, either on authentic problems, problems in the community, or something that they have to apply what they're learning. I think it's also rigorous in that regard, that as an early college high school, we try to front load some of the high school courses, they might double up on some things, and we move at a fairly rapid pace. So not only are we fast-paced, but I think, again, we're asking kids to dig a little deeper. School and community belonging is, I think, a hallmark of a STEM school, and I think whenever you've listened to our students talk, they do feel a sense of a community here that is important to them. Career, technology, and life skills with our partners, we are really able to have broad and deep pathways for kids to follow. So it makes it sometimes, if kids aren't really sure what pathway, it might make them a little bit more difficult for them to find that, because we don't have a lot of other options. But the career-based programs in line with the college-based programs, I think, is a really good partnership to allow kids some different options that way. Personalization of learning, I think we have worked really hard this year and will continue to say, we have a community of learners, but they all don't learn the same way. And so it's important for us as educators and for them to take some personal agency with that as well, to say, okay, how do I learn best and how are we going to tackle this problem? The external community, I think in year two we've done a good job of bringing in partnerships. We've done several things this year that our kids have had opportunities to work with professionals in the field, and they've come and mentored our students, and they've been able to solve some problems that exist out there. Staff foundations, I can't speak enough about what a great staff I have. They are flexible, they're smart, they're child-centered, and they are just pretty amazing. And then I think the other essential factors are being flexible. You know, Katie and Dylan are in our founding class, and I sort of laugh because they are our guinea pigs. When something doesn't go right, we call their parents up and say, well, we know we said we were going to teach this, but now we're teaching this, or this didn't work out. So I admire all our students, but I think that founding class took a leap of faith that is pretty amazing. Okay, I'm ready for the next one. So I tried to put together some things that I thought may be more important. Like, we have a pretty decent attendance rate, because again, I think that speaks to the community, that we know if they're gone and they know that we want them to be there. I don't want to say our kids are better behaved, because I'm absolutely sure they're not. But again, what I am sure of is, again, I think the smallness allows us to help work through some problems before they really become problems, and I think that that's important. Again, for personalizing learning, I don't have my results from our second class, but 97.7% of them successfully mastered all their ninth grade classes. We also, I think, are getting the right kids here. We ask kids to make a commitment for a year, but they pretty much want to stay once they get here. And maybe that's just they're in the groove, but I also think it's a good fit for most of them. And students that have opted to return to the comprehensive high school really have legitimate reasons. They want some art classes. They want a broader experience, maybe, in things that we can't offer them. And so they still got two good choices, and they take that second one. We had 68% of all our sophomores this year completed at least one or more college classes. And for students that were taking college classes, the average for them was 10 credits. So we have some kids in the sophomore class that have 21, 22 credits, which is pretty amazing. So I think that that's a really good thing. And then all of our freshmen this year took a study skills class through Columbia State, so they have their first college credit as well. Some of the challenges, I think, certainly scheduling to meet the needs of high school requirements and college requirements and our pathways to make sure that kids get what they need in the order in which they need them. I still think we don't have a good way always to communicate mastery learning. I think it's right-minded to say you're going to have some multiple opportunities to try something, but it's hard to, it's not like a grading system that most parents are used to, where you can check on PowerSchool and see exactly what. You have to really trust your kid to say, I'm redoing some things, and that grade's always in flux. And so communicating that to parents, too. Parents that want to be involved, sometimes it's really hard for them to know exactly where their students are. And each year, I think we get a little bit better, but I don't think we're quite there. And then I think just college credit plus, just navigating what we should be doing with that. And I think there's a challenge to make sure that I want kids to get college courses, but I want them to get them when they're ready for. And I want them also to have balance in their life. You know, there's a lot of pressure on those students, and I think on parents to say, well, this is free college. And while it is, and while that I think is an amazing thing, I think there should also be time. I mean, you can talk to these young people about some of the things they do outside of school, but certainly you want them to be high school kids too, you know, not little, I will, I would like you to be over. robust just the way you pass, but since you're not, I think that it might be important. But so that would be year two. So looking ahead, we changed. So next year, in our third year, we'll have our third master schedule. I'm pretty sure next year we'll have our fourth one. But so next year we're going to go back to, we tried this last year, block scheduling. So our students, I think that the sophomores would say that they would appreciate this. So they will only take four classes in a semester. It will be a long class, and then the second semester they'll have four more classes. But it won't be like a typical eight-period day for them. It really aligns with us with Columbus State because their courses are on semesters as well. And I think it gives kids, again, time to dig deeper, but not have eight classes that they're rushing through during the day. We want to have sort of an interim term. If we follow the Columbus State timeline, there's about a week and a half at the end of every semester that those classes are done. So we're going to try to end our high school courses at that same time. So we have some time to have some enrichment and some remediation for kids during those that time. This year we were, I think we did a really good job. One of the things that we weren't able to do last year, but we started this year, was to have professionals come in and meet with our kids. And so we had STEM talks and design challenges where we had professionals in all three of our pathways come in and work with kids. We want to expand upon that next year to even add for, like, our juniors a little more mentoring so that by the time they're seniors, they're ready to have some experience outside of school, either in a capstone project or an internship or something like that. We're also going to be part of KnowledgeWorks competency-based education pilot. One of the things that we're, again, going to focus on really is personalized learning, what that looks like and how we can really work with students as well, not just us knowing them, but them knowing them as well about their strengths. So I want to introduce four, because this is where I think that you'll really learn the true stuff. Not that I was lying to you, but I think that they would come too. Kate Weller, Rose Whalen, Dylan Musto, and Logan Painter. And so I asked them to come tonight, and I have some questions for them, which bothers me a little because they all have a little puzzle tonight. I gave them these questions yesterday. So tell me something. When you think about our habits of mind, what habit of mind, we try to model those and talk about them and really use them in and out of the classroom. What was the habit of mind that you feel like you really utilized this year or you needed to utilize this year? Kate?
For sophomores, I definitely think the main habit of mind would be the resilience. We've had to work with different scheduling and with projects. We're always given more to the project to add on, or we have to take away stuff. So definitely being resilient was the main goal, or main habit of mind last year and this year.
Rose, what do you think?
I would definitely say for me it was self-sufficiency. Especially being like an athlete and all of that thing, all of those things, it was more difficult to be able to manage my time well. And so definitely taking control of my own learning style, being able to recognize what works best for me, was definitely my main thing here.
Mine was definitely flexibility. So this year I play soccer and I had a lot of problems with my hip. I was out for good a month or two out of school. So the fact that I had to be flexible and get all that work in while I was laying at home in my bed and nursing my head back to help was a big step for me.
Well, I sort of have two. I have flexibility and resiliency because, first off, all of our teachers are throwing us these assignments every which way because it's school. And sometimes two teachers from one, from two different courses will like join together. We had biology and English join together this year, and we read the Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, and we had to do a TED talk over it, and we had to be flexible with it because when we normally had biology, we had world studies, and we had to figure out how to change our schedules around because there was a lot of self-sufficiency too, I guess, that we had to do over winter break because they expected us to read 15 chapters of a book or so. And to be honest, I didn't read them. But
which habit is that?
That's what you think. Well, and our resiliency, we just had to work through all of everything that they were giving us, and that's just sort of how we had to work through this school year.
Talk about something that you, like a project or a unit of study, something that you really enjoyed this year.
This year we just finished, we had the event today, was our disaster preparedness today. And my group was the PR group, so we made advertisement posters for this event. And I was the leader of the group, so I had to take charge of my group and also the other PR group and make sure that we were on task and with the right information down and that we got it out into the community for everyone to see. And we also had to stay on task with the other group, other groups. That way the event was nice and neatly planned out. Rose, what about you?
Like Logan mentioned before, we had biology and English come together to form bio-manatees. And so what we had done for that, the final project was to have a TED Talk. And I definitely enjoyed that the most just because it felt very realistic and like professional. Like everyone had to come in and dress like business formal. And I think it really boosted everyone's confidence being public speakers. So I think over the course of the year, everyone has been really public speakers.
One of the things I really enjoyed this year was the sophomore class actually teamed up with an elementary school, and we went there and did a design challenge. So I loved going there and showing the kids what they could do in the future, just seeing that bright light in their eyes as they explored the challenge and really figured it out for themselves. It was truly amazing for me.
What about you?
Okay, so my favorite one was our STEM Talks and Design Challenge. And for each pathway, we had different design challenges. For the engineering one, we had to make a car using a box, an like two different axles and wheels. And it was interesting. We spent the total of like 3 or 4 months working on it every 2 weeks with people from Honda. And we got to learn about like how different mechanisms of the cars work and what we can do to improve our car, because at the beginning we started off with this 3D printed box and we were pretty much given free rein to do whatever we wanted. So we decided we just wanted to scrap the box and use a tissue box instead. So we got to have lots of fun with that. And the STEM Talks, we got to learn about all the different fields that our pathways could lead into. So it was helpful for thinking about our future.
Something
time management for me, because I was a really bad procrastinating this year.
That's not out of line. I think that's your problem.
And it's just learning how to manage your time better, because you're given all these assignments and you have to figure out when you want to do them, and to do them well, you have to plan accordingly.
Mine was remembering turning on my work. Like I said, I had hip problems during the year. So I was really focused on getting my health and getting back in my sport and not really on my schoolwork. So during the first half of the year, my grades were not very good at all. And it was just kind of a wake-up call for me, saying I need to focus on my grades more rather than my extracurricular. So I think that was my biggest challenge.
I'm going to have to agree with Logan on that. It was time management, definitely, for me. Especially this year, I was a two-sport athlete. I'm currently doing club volleyball and track. And so it was having track practice every single day after school, and then 3 days of that week having volleyball practice on top of that. So I just had to be able to plan ahead throughout my day, like what work needs to be done, what was the best order for me to do it in so that I could get it all done in a reasonable time.
Kate?
There's a lot of challenging things here, but they all lead to like fun events or fun projects. But definitely, like what they said, was the time management. I started my first college course this year, and we got into it late, so Mr. Rigsby had to shorten the due dates for things, and we had to get big projects due within a short amount of days. So that was definitely a hard time, especially for the standard year.
One thing you really like about our school? was going to ask you that. I can see you all looking like things something. Come on. One thing I really like about this school is the fact that I know it'll get bigger, but the fact that it's so small. I know everyone in the school, and I can talk and create a conversation with anyone in the school. And I think that's really important for me being a high school student. Just being able to do that is phenomenal.
I definitely enjoyed the STEM talks and the Women in STEM Day that our guidance counselor set up. I'm currently like back and forth on between what I want to do, so the Women in STEM Day definitely helped me out to see what I want to do in the future wise. So that was nice, and I really enjoyed those. Rose and Robert.
I'm definitely going to have to say the thing that I like most about school is the flexibility of our the way that we learn. Because like Ms. McKenna said, everyone at the school has a different learning style. I feel like that we really have teachers that recognize all those different learning styles really well and give us different projects and assignments that will help everyone to learn in the best way possible.
I like the understanding of all of our teachers here because all of our teachers here really enjoy being here, and they love teaching. And let's say I have mastery in one class, and everyone else is working on something that I've already finished. My teacher will let me go to a different class that I may not have mastery in, or I'm struggling with slightly. And I can go work in that class while everyone else is working in another, like, part.
Perfect. Do you guys have questions for us? Yes.
So, do you feel like, not just for furthering yourself career-wise, but do you feel, because the way it sounds to me, that you're gaining a whole lot of life skills in itself? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
How are the pathways part of it going?
So you guys there's something from all three. We have engineers, and we have IT, and we have health. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like okay. Us.
Because it hasn't gone well.
Well, I'm in the biomed pathway this year, and I'm a freshman. And I definitely like again the flexibility of that course and the learning styles that we use in there. Like as of right now, we're almost doing a forensic case. We're studying the death of a woman named Anna Garcia. She's not real. It was, throughout this process, we look at the crime scene and we're trying to figure out what was her cause of death. And so along the way, we're learning all these things about like diseases and bodily functions and different things like that. So I think that class is definitely highlighted.
For engineering, at least I can say, was the first half was a little rusty because a lot of it was just recycled information from my freshman year. But the second half, we took first college course in engineering. And that was really interesting because it was lecture test, lecture test, lecture test, and it was a struggle at first. But then I got used to it, I learned how to study better, and then my grade really shot up from there.
In MIT, it was nice at the beginning of the year because we had the mastery phase class, but then towards the end, that's when the college started, and it was definitely like a struggle, but Mr. Reese was definitely cooperative with us and very resilient.
So the courses that are college credit are not STEM?
They're just college. Like, so that's here's your timeline, here's your syllabus, here's your one test. So it's a tough, I mean, I think that you guys would agree that all of a sudden you're like, well, wait, you know, timelines are different. And we, you know, I think moving ahead will do a better job of making sure kids understand that, but I would agree that all of a sudden you're halfway through and it's like, well, wait, what about this? I think that that's been a challenge for kids. Well, we have a problem.
Yeah, I did the manufacturing part of engineering. And this year we got a new teacher, Ms. Balcock, now Mrs. Koch, and she was actually taking the college class while we were taking it too. So we go to her.
She was a day ahead of you.
Ask a question, and then she had to say, "I'll come back to you tomorrow." We got to learn about how metals have their different properties and what affects them and everything there. But unfortunately, I couldn't take that college class because I hadn't lived in Ottawa for more than 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
So,
So you got the experience without the college credit, but now you've been along about. So, goodness. Yes, sir.
Now, all of you took a leap of faith. Those were sophomores, really did. But you had to have had some expectation, some idea of what you want. How has this either met or not met your expectation?
This has really met my expectation because first year I was really depressed because there weren't any college classes, but I'm kind of happy. I didn't take any really as a freshman in high school, but in the next few years, I'm going to really strive to try to get an associate's degree in the school. So it's really met my expectation within the college credits like I was looking for.
I would definitely have to say it does meet my expectation. I know definitely one of the main reasons I came here was to get those extra college credits under my belt once I graduate from high school. I know my parents especially like that very much. And so I know as a freshman, I only have to take one college course, which was the college introductory course that freshman has to take. But I know scheduling for next year, I have two college courses, I think. And so I think that really just prepares us more for the future, and I can say it definitely meets my expectations there.
This school definitely met my expectations. I was looking for like a lot of group work and problem solving, so I really enjoy those, and definitely the people outside of this building coming in and giving us problems.
I lived in Ohio for very long. I moved here in the middle of August, and my parents were like, "Yeah, we can sign you up for the STEM school." And I was like, "Let's go." And I didn't really know why. School year because I was the new kid and I felt really awkward and kind of scared and confused because that's what new kids always are. And everyone just sort of welcomed me in and treated me like they had known me forever. So it really helped meet my expectations.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Next up, we have a presentation for resource adoption. So at the end of the school year, we have a week of PD and coursework that teachers can sign on and take to support their professional growth. So Karen came up with a brilliant idea to have the kind of like a science fair, a vendor fair, here where the classes are, which was here at the Early College High School. And so the vendors came and they set up their product. And teachers in between classes and those that, you know, were interested could come and go from vendor to vendor, kind of look at the products and see what they were like and ask questions about the program and kind of fill out a form for us to give us some general feedback. So that was really successful. And from those forms and feedback from the teachers, we were able to whittle all the vendors down into five different programs. So from there, we put our committee together, made up of teachers from all the elementaries and curriculum, representing K-6. And the five vendors that kind of made the cut came to Northwood, and we all met with those vendors, and they again presented more specific information on their product. When that happened, we asked for feedback from the teachers again, and we came down to two specific programs. One was Fusion and one was National Geographic. And that's what we decided that we would pilot in the district. So for the remainder of the school year,
we took all the, I saw the principals were people, that's how we made our community in the first place, of teachers that were interested in piloting to represent every grade level, and they were actually able to use these two programs throughout the year in their teaching. So it was really hands-on experience. And these are some of the teachers that were involved in the pilot, the Fusion, and the National Geographic, and they represented every grade level.
So you see who we have there. So what happened were that each of those teachers were given a half day of cleaning time by the company that they were going to pilot. So half of them for National Geographic, half of them did Fusion. And then they spent 3 or 4 months really using the program. They used it with their students, they tried it out, they got, you know, just really got a feel for the program. Both of the companies represented them. The programs would come in, help them, support them, take questions. I mean, both companies actually did a lot for our teachers. Then we asked each teacher at the end of that to complete a rubric that we had on the programs about the size of did it fit your needs, how to work with the students, with their hands-on activities, those types of things, part of the rubric. But finally, we got that whole group together and really looked at the pros and cons. We looked at the rubrics, we looked at what they saw, what they had, and after we really, you know, I had to make a discussion because, you know, when you have 3 or 4 months invested into a program, sometimes it's hard to give that up. But they realized that the Fusion program actually had kind of a better fit for us. It had more for us, K-6, it supported all the grade levels, and had some of the information, had the, they had an online piece, had different pieces that really supported the kids. So our final conclusion then was the Fusion program. So that's where we landed right now for K-6.
7-12 was a bit of a different process. First of all, I was just hired this year, so I came into it and didn't even know what was going on. And I was like, oh, guess what you get to do? So hit the ground running and got in touch with some reps and got some samples in. So what's different about 7-12 is that we don't have like one course. We have chemistry and biology, and all those different courses have different needs. So we piloted a lot of different products based on what the instructor said they wanted to look at. I want to highlight, so we don't go through all of them, I'll highlight a couple of them that have been really successful, I think. One thing was STEM scopes. It goes 7th grade, 8th grade, physical science, and biology, and all of the teachers did try it out. We've had it from September, October through even today. So they really did try out some units, and it turned out that 7th and 8th grade liked it better than the physical science and biology, so we chose a different route with physical science and biology, looked at some different things. But all of the teachers really invested. I asked them, I said, you know, to really look at a unit or to really look at a product, you need to do something that's very difficult. You need to put away your old stuff, and you need to actually try at least one unit, like go all in on this one unit. And so I was pleased to say we did that, and it led to us narrowing down and figuring out that it wasn't for physical science and biology. So it's a nice model because it's a 5E model. Generally what it does is the students start off with a very low responsibility for the material. The teacher has more. But then at the end, the student has all the responsibility for the material and the teacher has less, so to speak. So it's a nice triangle shape. And there's lots of great activities. We like it because it was designed by teachers for teachers. The materials for the labs are all just ready-made things you can get at Lowe's or Walmart or stuff you'd have on hand. So it doesn't require a whole lot of special equipment. And that's one of the things that we're looking at. Other things that we also like about it is that it's growing. It's kind of new, and they're expanding, and they're very receptive to what we say we need. So if we don't like the way something works, we tell them. They're also getting to the point where they're going to digitize their materials. So right now, it's a lot of worksheets, but they're digitizing it so the kids can just create the answers or do the lab or whatever they're doing, the activity, right online and put it right on to the Schoology or whatever platform they want. So we like that with our one-to-one initiative coming forward. The other thing that we're really excited about is something called Gizmos.
Gizmos, actually we're looking at 3 through 12, and it is a science simulation. So there's a whole bunch of online simulations. We're really excited about that for our prep for the state assessment. The state assessments now have a lot of, in science, a lot of these kind of run this simulated experiment and then answer these questions. And we didn't have a lot of resources for that. And what was nice about it, when we looked at it, it looks like the state assessment copied Gizmos or vice versa, something. But there are several that are just almost identical in terms of what was released by the state and what was on Gizmos. So, again, we're very pleased with that. Again, it's online, so again, it goes with our one-to-one initiative. So we're very happy with that. So those are the things, a couple of them are highlighted. If you want to know anything else, I'm free to talk. So if you have any other questions, but yes, we found something for every niche.
Do you have any comments, Mr. Science Teacher?
No.
Okay.
It is the way we did it back in the
60s. This is a process we've used with some other pieces of our curriculum as well. I think it sounds like it's a good process.
Yes.
Appreciate all the time. I know that's a lot of work for our staff and for everybody
involved.
Well,
it was really good for me because I got to know everybody And it was important the teachers feel involved.
Right, exactly.
They put a lot of time into it. Like I said, it was hard for some of them to give up the one that they had invested in for 3 or 4 months, but they realized in the end, I mean, it wasn't even, you know, they realized what the other program had. So, but they took it to heart, and they knew this is an important decision.
We appreciate all the time you put into it.
Well, we just heard that in the previous presentations, students learned differently, not only thought of the teachers. Not all teachers have the same instruction level. And so it sounds as if you've tried to provide some opportunities.
Yeah, especially at the elementary level when it comes to science. If you ask some of the teachers, they're like, "Oh, but this program allows them to step in wherever they are." Mm-hmm. And that's what we need, something that allow everyone, depending on the knowledge base they have, to be able to use it and utilize it with the students.
Thank you. Okay. Is anybody, Karen?
There's no public.
No. Okay. No public participation. Then we'll move right on to the superintendent's report provided by our assistant superintendent, Mr. Langhouse.
Just a couple items to share. We recently wrapped up the spring window for the state assessment via air. Wrapped it up in early May. Testing went very smooth this year, even smoother than last year. I'd like to say thank you to our school test coordinators as well as our test administrators. They did a fine job making sure our students had a comfortable testing environment. So kudos to them. Also a reminder that graduation is this Saturday, May 21st at 7 o'clock. It's an exciting time for our seniors and their families. It's a special event and something to always remember, so we're excited for Saturday. Bids for the stadium parking lot project are coming in, and they are due no later than by the end of the month, so we'll have more information as we move forward in that process. Also, too, just wanted to mention a recent communication that was shared with families regarding the 2016-17 school calendar. We sent this out to parents just over a week ago. To where Memorial Day was accidentally left on the calendar as a Calamity Makeup Day. And I don't think anybody would want to make up a day on Memorial Day. So we corrected that quickly and communicated that back out with our families. And, you know, we just hope we have great weather like we did this year right. So we don't have to worry about Calamity Days at all. So, but that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for you?
One just real quick. Mm-hmm. What does this do to the ending date of the parking lot? I mean, does that get us into other activities in the fall?
Well,
with football specifically, right?
I can say that at least with our preliminary discussions, and I think this is all, you know, subject to change, but I think they felt that they may be able to break up the project as far as getting, you know, there's multiple layers with that, you know, that type of project. So I think they felt that they'd be able to get at least an initial layer down prior to the the high traffic season and then be able to finish up later. Now, that was the initial plans I'd heard, but we'll give you an update when we get some more concrete plans, no pun intended.
Okay. Next up, we have the treasurer's report.
The manufacturer forecast on the agenda tonight. So I'm just going to give a quick update. I made some changes compared to April. I was able to incorporate the results of our recent certified staff negotiations. So I updated the forecast based on that. The first slide there is looking at the revenue and expenditures. This is what I showed you in April. And as we talked about last month, with the blue line of revenue exceeding the expenditures, and all but the last 2 years of the forecast, we're building a nice ending cash balance. If you look over to the second reading, it looks very similar. If I go back and forth like 10 or 20 times, you can catch that difference, but I won't do that to you. The real change, it's still a good picture and still good trend lines. The real change is in fiscal years 18, 19, and 20. The expenditure lines in those years increased by about 1% in each year, or on average about $500,000 per year. And that's going to bring that bottom line and ending balance down some. Looking at the big picture, the forecast summary, hopefully you can read that. Looking at it, it really didn't have a major impact on how this forecast impacts the cash balance policy. Same as what we were looking at in April. If you look about the third line down over to the right two columns, that was our revenues versus expenditures. So we still have those last 2 years, fiscal years 19 and 20, showing a deficit on revenues versus expenditures. That deficit grew some. And as I noted, the ending cash balance decreased. Still a very healthy forecast and healthy ending cash balance. With that ending cash balance, in April presentation, we were looking at about $12.9 million at the end of the forecast. That number now stands at about $11.4 million. Any questions?
I think so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that it for you?
That's it for that part. Yep.
Okay. Board President's report. I've got several things to go over. I just wanted to make a comment about negotiations. I very much appreciated the work that we accomplished with our Strategic Compensation Committee beforehand, and I think that kind of helped set the stage, and it was very collaborative. We had some good open discussion. We had asked some tough questions, I think, of each other, but overall I think it went really smoothly. Also want to note that May 2nd was School Bus Driver Appreciation Day, so we're a little late, but wanted to comment what a great job our school bus drivers do and thank them for how much they help our kids get home safely every day. And I'm guessing that Dick will probably talk a little bit about how he provided some testimony on College Credit Plus on May 17th, so I'll let him talk about that, maybe when he talks about his legislative updates. Another thing, some of the students tonight talked about the STEM Design Challenge, and I was able to go to that on May 4th, and I had attended some other, throughout the year when they were practicing them, and it's just an amazing partnership. I mean, the real-life problems that they were asked to solve, they learned so much from that, and they were up here presenting in front of judges, and the judges gave them feedback immediately after their presentation. And they weren't all, I mean, they didn't sugarcoat things, they gave them some good critiques, I thought, and they did a great job. And then also our engineering instructor, Mrs. Koch, received a $5,000 technology grant from CenturyLink. I should back up. The partners were CenturyLink, Scotts Miracle-Gro, Honda, and who was the other one? OU, the OU School of Medicine. So she got a $5,000 technology grant, and that's going to be used to purchase some robotic kits that are going to be integrated into the freshman math and engineering curriculum next year. So that was nice to, you know, the partners recognize the great work that's being done here for our kids. So I was really happy about that. Also, our National Honor Society induction and the Japanese National Honor Society induction happened over the past couple of weeks. I was able to attend some of the senior awards assemblies through my real job at the Union County Foundation because I work with scholarships there, and I can't tell you how impressive our students are. It was just amazing to see all of the things that they're involved with, not just academics, but their extracurriculars and community service. And I know a lot of our elementary schools had some wax museums this past month. I stopped by Edgewood's, and again, you know, you're watching these were fourth graders, and they had memorized a presentation about somebody, some historic person that they had done research on. They got to dress up like the person. So just combining all sorts of ways to learn and share what you have learned with other people, and they did a great job. Let's see. I attended a Chamber of Commerce meeting this morning, and the Early College High School is the host of the first year of a Young Entrepreneurs Academy program, YEA, and they graduated 18 students this week, and 12 businesses were started. And another thing that was mentioned in our chamber meeting today is that our own Mr. Langhouse was part of the Leadership Institute graduating class of 2016. There were 22 in the class, and they graduated 276 to date. And I was wondering, what project did your team work on?
We worked on the Splash and Dash.
All right. That sounded like, what exactly was that?
It's an idea for the city or the chamber.
Okay.
A way to bring a duathlon right here in our backyard at a facility, especially with the updates the city is making to the reservoir area in 2017.
Right. Okay.
So it's an option for a variety of athletes if they would like to do a swim-run combo,
uh-huh.
or if they can just do the swim with a teammate doing the run, or if they just want to do the run to bring more attention to Union County and to the Marysville area, and also raise some funds to reinvest back into the community.
Okay, great. Well, I know it's a great program, I think, and so congratulations for graduating on that.
Thank you.
Let's see. Also, the Chamber wanted to point out that our first Friday Nights Uptown is this Friday, so I'll share that with everybody. A shout-out to the boys' track team, OCC Champs. I thought that was great news. And then, finally, the one thing I want to mention is that we have scheduled a work session for June 6th. And is that time confirmed? Do you know?
4
o'clock?
I do not know.
Not sure on that? Okay. So we're hoping it's going to be 4 o'clock. To talk about results of the survey, and then we'll also have an executive session to talk about employment, promotion, whatever, something about employees. So just kind of have that on your calendars, and there will be something official coming out on June 6th at the board office. We're hoping it's going to be 4. It depends on the availability of the person who's going to help share the information from the survey. And... community coffee, I'm sorry. Dick and Brian, I know you guys attended the community coffee on May 14th, right? Or May 14th, right? And so you sent out a nice update on that. Didn't know if you wanted to make any other comments about that, or that's really the last one that we have planned until next year, or until the school year starts. Okay. And were you going to touch base with Brookdale about possibly having that out there? Okay.
Been able to speak to the person that I need to speak to.
Gotcha.
And still trying to do that.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, thank you for having that. So that's all I have. So now, let's see, next up we have the High Point Report, Mr. Chivington.
Good evening. Good to see you. Okay. From the top of Ohio, I'd like to give an update from Ohio High Point. And last time it was actually our work session. And I'm proud to mention that Ohio High Point is in a very good financial situation again this year. And the next 5 years are very, very strong. So that allows Dr. Smith to be able to do some additional things, and he's like a kind of cowboy out there trying to make some things happen, so I'm sure you're aware of that. Also, as we all know, student safety is on our heartline front, and in the month of April, three of the staff members went to an active shooter demonstration on the main campus. And also, Dr. Smith is talking with the Bell Fountain Police Department about Alice Street as well. So we're good to hear that. And obviously never be too safe. Mm-hmm. Also, it was good to put some faces with the names with the STEM program. And as you know, we've had a number of students go to the state and the national competitions. We have asked several of the students to come to the board meeting in Bell Fountain in June. So those students will come out and we'll be able to meet them in person and talk to them ourselves. So one thing that wasn't mentioned by Mr. Martin tonight was a lot of students actually achieved their white belt certification in Six Sigma. And so from an industry perspective, that's very impressive. And it's something that we're interested in. And so 5 years of those students actually received that first level of Six Sigma. And so that's real impressive. Also, an eighth grade student, Cole Glass, received a $1,000 scholarship. And he was chosen as a winner from the Marysville Bunsell Career Based Intervention and Invention Program. So, glad to see that. And this month in May, Caitlin Maynard will be recognized as a student month for Hawaii. So, we'll be able to meet her here next week. Next Wednesday is our graduation, so probably you're familiar with that. But we're looking forward to that convocation. And let's see, also that same evening we have our board meeting. The last day for the seniors is the 25th, and the last day for the teachers is the 27th. And I actually had my orientation on the 27th of April, so you guys do a lot.
You didn't know what you were getting yourself into.
Exactly. So 2 hours of acronyms and education. I walk away from books. But I appreciate the opportunity. It's good to see you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Great.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, hey, you know, out there going through your orientation.
Sure.
What was your impression?
It was very refreshing walking out, seeing the level of, especially from the financial standpoint, the level of commitment and how much planning took place. I didn't have that perspective coming into it. And the 5-year planning process, and how well Ohio High Point works for 14 different schools. Mm-hmm. From the community, you probably don't talk about it enough. Mm-hmm. You know, being my first year on the board. So I think a lot of people don't understand the good things that we're doing.
Thank you, Doug. I did. Doug and I talked a little bit about. I think he's hoping to be able to meet with some of the instructors before school starts next year, kind of get a better idea of what they're doing, find out what some of the challenges are, and just try and work together, make sure that we're supporting them as best we can. Thank you. Next up, we have our legislative report.
There's a number of different topics that are before the state legislature or the government, and one of them has to do with Medicaid. A month or so ago, Jonathan and I had an opportunity, along with Rich Fair and Bob Humble, superintendent of Northeastern Fairbanks, to meet with the legislators. It was Mr. Humble who raised the question concerning reimbursement for Medicare expenses and so forth. Here's in August, under the changes in health care, there's an August 1st deadline, and the issue that school districts all across the state are facing is that the guidelines say that the doctor, physician, assistant, or similarly trained professional has to prescribe the eligible services. Typically, students are schools don't employ those types of people. So we're working out, trying to look at some ways in which someone who meets that status has kind of an umbrella responsibility for school districts and would be able to sign off and work with the types of healthcare professionals that we typically employ. And we got an email from Wallace Bede that said that there's work to make sure that everybody is in compliance and so forth on that. CPR is a graduation requirement. I mentioned before, passed in the House and now over the Senate. School door barricade is now pending in the Senate and is being discussed back and forth. We'll have to be there. Senate Bill 3, which has kind of pulled together several different issues, is a high-performing school district exemption. That was its original format, but it is now expanding a little bit. Currently, it has passed the Senate, it's pending in the House, and it limits the cumulative time spent on administration of district-wide assessments to 2% of the school year, practice limited to 1% of the school year, eliminates some diagnostic assessments of students in grades 1 through 3, and mathematics for the pains in reading, make some other adjustments in teacher and administrative evaluations and so forth. So it's kind of a large, multifaceted issue that is currently debated. Senate Bill 148, which deals with charter school oversight, was introduced. It's still sitting in the Senate Finance Committee. And doesn't seem like that there's a lot of action on it. There's a lot of discussion, but not much action. Substitute House Bill 410 on truancy that I mentioned before is still moving forward. There's still discussion on that. Requirements of schools that they put together, essentially an intervention process. Language of the bill says that you can't suspend a student simply because they don't show up to school. So you've got to do some other things. Some provisions of it bring into play the juvenile court. And finally, House Bill 474, Higher Education, MBR, mid-year budget reform, has in it components dealing with College Credit Plus. And I went and provided testimony on that, urging members of the subcommittee that was hearing the testimony to look at the impact of cost on the school district. I told them that this past year we spent about $212,000 on college tuition costs, another approximately $130,000 in books and technology for the college courses it's taking. Prior to this year, the tuition costs we passed through to the parents. And I suggested to them that they allow us to go back to that model with some means test so that students from economically disadvantaged households would be able to take advantage of the college courses that are being offered and the tuition would be paid for a waiver. Something done with that. My impression was members of this committee didn't really understand the impact of what the law did. There were a number of questions that were raised, kind of like, you're telling me that this is what's going on, and you know, the answers were yes, this is exactly what's going on. So I think there's going to be a lot more investigation, a lot more discussion on this, and hopefully we will see some sort of change where tax dollars, the center piece was, the tax dollars that were being raised for elementary and secondary education stay in elementary and secondary education, and we find another way to come up with money for college credits.
Thank you very much, and thank you again for taking the time to testify.
I would say that the written testimony is online. You go to,
right, yeah, we got an email today, House. I think, that had all of them. Thank you. Mrs. Powers, any report from our Safety and Drug Committee?
We've gone through some survey things and found out that the largest substance abuse is alcohol among our teens. Tomorrow I have an ad hoc meeting. The alcohol has ad hoc meeting in the morning at 10 a.m. That I'll be attending. We're seeing more and more of retail stores not carding used. So working on that with doing compliance checks, and then businesses will be receiving follow-up letters. Use for drinking on private property, we've seen a lot of that. The Ohio social post laws are trying to get out, be a parent, not a friend. Especially with high school graduations and everything coming up, trying to encourage parents to, to be more like a parent and not a friend and let them do this. Community festivals that sell alcohol are not following best practices, so also we'll be checking on that. And encouraging some guidelines that they need to be a lot more strict policies in place to check that out. Tomorrow I'll be at that meeting, and we'll be doing more with that tomorrow. And then we have our main meeting again next month before June's school board meeting. So I'll have updates on everything then.
Thank you very much. Next on our agenda, I need a motion to approve the minutes of our April 28th, 2016 meeting.
So
moved. Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Okay.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Any questions or comments, corrections? Nope. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, we need a motion to accept the competitive bid from Roger Fields and Associates for the Edgewood Rooftop Project.
So
motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any questions or comments from anyone?
I'll just note that this is something that was planned as part of our permanent improvement forecast. Getting to it now, it's putting air conditioning unit into the Edgewood Gymnasium, which did not have air conditioning to this point.
Yes.
So I think it's the students there will be very thankful for that,
I'm
sure.
And the parents who go to assemblies,
And I would also note that, when we put that together, we do estimates of what we expect these projects to cost, and the bids came in. We're savings of around $6,000 compared to our original estimates. So.
Good. And you assumed that you're guessing that that's just going to happen over the summer, most likely.
Yes.
That would be the plan. Okay. Any questions? All right. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant? I'm sorry, Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now I need a motion to approve all the treasure items. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Second by Ms. Powers. You probably do have
a couple things. A couple things I'll point out. We already discussed the 5-year forecast is in there. You'll note a resolution approved 403B tax deferred annuity program. This program was, I guess, there was a need brought up by some of our teachers who were getting close to retirement.
And when that retirement time comes and they get a severance payout, they're really hit hard with taxes when that time comes. And, you know, the questions were asked, you know, what can we do to avoid some of these tax penalties that are hitting right at the end? So that's where this program came into play. It's really a win-win. There's no cost to the district. There's no cost to the employee. The employee gets some tax benefits of this program, as well as, you know, not really a real big number, but the school district would save some taxes as well, not having to pay the employer share of Medicare on that severance payout. So really a win-win for the staff and for the district. And second there, pay to participate fees. The district currently charges a $200 pay to participate fee. We're trying to be proactive. You know, one, there's been a lot of discussion in the state legislature about pay to participate fees and the impact those have on allowing all students to participate in our programs, as well as just some feedback we've been getting from parents and, you know, some situations there's hardships in meeting those fees. So we're proposing to create a family maximum or a family cap of $600 for pay to participate fees, as well as for any student on free lunch, those fees would be cut in half, cut 50%. So they would only pay a $100 fee, and the family cap or maximum for free lunch students would be $300.
Which one is that in?
It's under the BOE treasure items. If you open up that file.
Okay, I see.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the work that you did and again being proactive, because I know that is something that's come up in some of the community coffees and some other emails every now and then about, you know, some concern about those pay to participate, and I know there was some surveying done of some other districts nearby to kind of see where we fell. So,
who is working on that part of the? You say we.
Like the.
Coming up with.
Coming up with. Oh, okay. Well, initially, our athletic director, I believe the athletic director at the middle school as well. They did some surveying as well as just gathering data to look at, you know, where we stood compared to comparable districts. And then we met just as a leadership team just to talk about, you know, what we thought would be a good move. I mean, you have to look at the impact on district revenue versus the impact on, you know, allowing as many students as possible to take advantage of these programs.
Is this going to be hard to administer, or is it going to be...
No, I mean, it adds a little bit of a layer, but we have a student data system where we can enter in, you know, whatever fees are owed and those kinds of things. So we just would keep track of it in there.
And I know we had talked about the fact that the handbooks have already been approved, so there will be some type of notice included, and with additional communication going out to families before the school year starts so that they're aware. I mean, I think it's a good start.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions for Todd? We'll take a roll call, please.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Right. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve Linda Smith as a volunteer for the school district.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, we need a motion to approve all the other superintendent action items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
Just a few highlights to point out. there was a list of recommendations for new hires for the 2016-17 school year.
Also an updated list of retirements. So we'd like to wish our list of retirees the best of luck as they move forward. And we definitely thank them for their service to our students and our community over the years. Once a monarch, always a monarch. Also in there are the new salary schedules for all classifications of employees. There's also an initial list of our 2016 graduates, including some students pending meeting certain graduation requirements. Also another impressive list of volunteers, which just highlights what a supportive community that we live in. Also then, too, are the follow-ups with the second read of policies that were first reviewed in April. That's it.
Okay. And I'm just going to make a point because I forgot. I went to the Board Leadership Institute, and one of the sessions that I attended was talking about OHSAA. So I know not a resolution. Maybe it is a resolution, but anyways, it's our continuing partnership or membership with OHSAA.
Yes.
I know that's in there, and also the a resolution to continue with our electric supplier. Yeah, the retail electric resolution, and that's just kind of a renewal of a
program to take advantage of the currently low electric rates.
Right, kind of a consortium type thing. Any questions? I'll second your comments about the retirees, though. We do appreciate. I saw some names in there I recognized, and wish them well for sure. Okay, then roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And finally, any comments or questions from board members? And we'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
I had a wonderful opportunity last night to attend the Grain of Fourth Grade music program. Title Life is a Highway. And it was an amazing presentation. Looking forward to the Door Rally tomorrow. And I would point out that in the board notes, it reminded me that there was staff appreciation week first in May. And I will tell you that any teacher in the district who does not work at Raymond got short on appreciation. The teachers at Raymond were fed a different themed lunch every day of the week. It was catered spreads, absolutely amazing. Notes, flowers.
Wait, it sounds like you were there too.
I was.
I think we all need to be there, okay? It was just to yourself.
No, and that's the reason I'm telling you. May 1st, plan a visit to Raymond.
Thank you.
Can we call it in the new ahead of time?
Yes.
I can't come to the desk, so I should have to pick a bed.
I think Italian was Wednesday.
Just thanks everybody to all the hard work and the effort in the kids. Thank you guys for the hard work putting in for the teachers and coming to a nice conclusion and getting everything done and just appreciate all the hard work that they've done this year. Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to Saturday night, the graduation ceremony. Dick and I were able to go to the community coffee just a few days ago, right? And I think it's a very useful thing. It's a good way to meet people in the community that are thinking through or concerned about certain things and talk about them a little bit less formally. Mm-hmm. So I hope we continue that in the fall. Mm-hmm. And I did meet with Ms. Kaufenberger, the principal at Wenzel Middle School, as part of the building liaison program. And just had a good talk about how things were going, mm-hmm. and included some things that came up in the coffee. So there's just a lot of communication. I think more is better.
Right.
I'd like to keep that going.
I went to the fifth and sixth grade choral presentation last Monday, and again, wanted to thank you for the volunteering that you do. So thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, and I play because she doesn't have it in her budget to hire incumbents. And being on the board, I'm not allowed to be paid as a company. So it works very nicely.
Mr. Johnson? I guess I would note there's not a whole lot of people left here, but the majority of people who are here were on the negotiating team that we just recently completed. And I just would echo your comments that it was a very collaborative negotiations, went really well, a lot of really good points brought up, and I think it was successful for both sides.
Mr. Linehurst? Nothing? Okay. I just want to, Kathy seems to sneak out of here, but just wanted to thank her for hosting it. And congrats to the state qualifiers, and yes, I'm looking forward to graduation as well. And I know the one thing I was really happy to see in the agreement too is that we're giving our staff an opportunity that some of this compensation is linked to setting and achieving goals that are aligned to our district strategic plan. And I was just reading a book last night that was talking about the importance of setting goals. You know, it's a lot of times you think, oh, people, if they like their jobs, they're going to work hard. But studies really show that when you set goals, you do better than when you don't. And so, anyways, I thought, again, great conversations, and it was a good result that I think a fair raise for people. I hope that our teachers feel appreciated, because we certainly do appreciate everything they do for us, our entire staff. So with that, how about a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So
motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Vine.
Yes. The meeting's